today on Real Radio.
That should be our cliche. That should be our statement. That should be our declaration. Christ in me. Well, you know, when in Rome. I don't know anything about that, but Christ in me. Look, if I've got to go to Rome for business, Christ in me goes to Rome in business. Is your company having a convention in Vegas? God help you, but go to Vegas because Christ in you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 3, continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 14 through 23. The Apostle Paul ends his epistle to the church at Philippi the way he started it, in a Roman prison. Roman guards were chained to Paul, and yet, out of pure love, he didn't waste a moment. He continued to teach and spread the gospel from his prison cell. Real biblical Christianity is not a spectator faith. True faith is about being involved as Christ was in this world. The giving of our love, energy, care, and resources are never lost or wasted in the economy of God. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that true Christian saints are those who are living to love God and who give Him all the glory. Christian saints are called to serve and to anticipate the movement of the Holy Spirit. And now, continuing his lesson called The Power of Giving, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Have you been to a church where God isn't? There's more life in the graveyard. At least nobody in the graveyard will deceive you. There's more vitality in the morgue. No, the truth of the matter is, when we come together as Christians, and when we step out of this building in 20 minutes to go live our life, we anticipate God's effect. Listen, whatever you do, if you're going to do that to the glory of God, don't you expect God to show up? If he's not going to show up, I don't want anything to do with it. That's why we all pray about things. You get invitations to do this, to do that, or you get asked to do this or to that. You say, well, let me pray about that. Is this going to honor God? Is this going to glorify God? I tell you, when that's your target, all of our insecurities and all of our inabilities go out the window, because the issue is, will this glorify God? Don't we all? Listen, we all feel grotesquely inadequate. All of us. Make no mistake about it. Paul was in prison, and he anticipated God to move. Why was Paul in prison? For preaching the gospel. He's in trouble for the right reason, right? Look, we're all going to get in trouble, but you want to be in trouble for the right reason. He was in prison for preaching the gospel. And look at verse 22. It says, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Are you kidding me? Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Paul, how do you stop a man like this? And how does the devil stop somebody like you? He can't. Because everything is dedicated to God. Paul, we're sending you to Rome. You're in prison. Whatever. And he goes. You never see him resisting. He goes, and they put him in prison. And Paul's thinking, because we know how he thinks. Okay, well, how's this going to turn out to the glory of God? Sit here. In fact, you know what? Your mouth is just too dangerous. Everywhere you go, people experience joy, peace, and freedom. Amen. We will not have that in our government. So we're going to chain 2 Roman guards to you, one on either side, armed to the teeth. Ching, ching. What's your name? My name is, so it's Rome. He's a centurion. So it's a good Italian name. I don't know any Italian names. Franco? Is that Italian? Look, it better be for your sake, I'm telling you now. No, so Franco says, so Paul, what's your name? Franco, did you know? And he starts witnessing. And this other guy next to him, he's got to hear it all. What's your name? Antonio. Or is that? Okay. He shares with him. Can you imagine? Shift change. They go home. How was your day, honey, in the cell? How was your day in the jail? I met this guy. He's very famous. Some people say he's crazy. You know what he told me? He told me God loved me. And he said all the gods of Rome, they're a bunch of bozos. They're down there in the forum, these statues. They're dead. They're all dead, just a bunch of rocks carved. He said God's alive, that God lives. Can you believe this crazy guy? And you imagine they lay their head down at night. Well, what do you think he's right? They began to become believers. Hey, listen, I know these sermons make it into prisons. I know I got letters from two prisons at least, from the prison in Oahu in Honolulu, where a prisoner listens to these broadcasts and shares the gospel with those in prison. He's probably listening right now, okay? And the other place is a scary place I've been in. Inside, terrified me. I hadn't done anything wrong, but I felt like I did. And that's Ironwood Prison, just on the California-Arizona border. Terrified me. I was asked to go in there. It freaked me out, man. I don't want to talk about it. There are people in there who have come to Christ. They're born again, and they're sharing the gospel. What about the prison next door, down the street? What about the prison in your home? What about your bedroom? What about your living room? What about your family? Prison. Could be a prison. They're chained to you. You're not chained to them. Some in Caesar's household. What does that mean? Listen, it's a broad term. It means those who serve Caesar. It doesn't mean Caesar's kid got saved. It's possible. If you've been to Rome, by the way, there are some amazing in the catacombs. There's at least, I think, four Catholic popes that were entombed in the catacombs, Christian catacombs in Rome, because they had accepted Christ in their lifetime. And they were banished. Well, think about the emperor of Rome, ruler of the world. His attendants were getting saved. Think of that. This morning in Washington, D.C., the Vice President of the United States is a born-again believer, reads his Bible every day, loves the Lord. What does that mean? He's got access to Donald Trump. I'm sure he's telling Donald Trump, hey, listen, you need Jesus. Here's the deal. This is what the Bible says. Go look. Go look at who's surrounding Trump. I don't know anything about Trump except this. There's a lot of Christians that are surrounded Trump now. Hey, just like it was in Rome, Caesar had a bunch of people that had come to faith around him. He didn't even know it. Paul says, hey, Philippians, I'm telling you, it's been awesome here. Love it. Those working for Caesar, I've led them to the Lord. They wanted me to tell you hi also. Is that awesome? What a great thing that is. You can anticipate God's effect. When you step out to serve the Lord, maybe you're in the halls of power. I think about Senator Mike Morrell from this church. I think about Shannon Grove up in Sacramento and others. Listen, you're not chained to that mess. That mess is chained to you. Are you a school teacher? God help you. No, I'm dead serious. I thought pastors would be on the most dangerous front when the society would turn crazy. Christian school teachers, they have the worst job in the world now in this state. Threats, intimidation. Can I remind you, you're not chained to this system. You're a Christian. Your God is judge. The system's chained to you for the furtherance of the gospel. Keep that in mind. Anticipate God to move. Anticipate God to act. Way back a year and a half ago in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, I actually looked the date a year and a half ago. Philippians 1, verse 12, Paul says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Wow. That is awesome. There's some notorious sayings. Right? There's some notorious sayings like when in Rome. Can I encourage you today? Tomorrow morning, you're going to get up and go to work. And the enemy's going to say, now, good Christian boy, good Christian girl, you leave your Christianity. You heard that message yesterday. Just you, that's fine. You can think about it all you want, but you leave it here in the parking lot before you go in that building. People say things like, well, you know, when in Rome. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, when in Rome. Or how about a modern day one? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. No, it doesn't. Well, what about on the positive? I'm a Christian. Christ in me. That's our new thing, right? Christ in me. That should be our cliche. That should be our statement. That should be our declaration. Christ in me. Well, you know, when in Rome, I don't know anything about that, but Christ in me. Look, if I've got to go to Rome for business, Christ in me goes to Rome in business. Is your company having a convention in Vegas? God help you, but go to Vegas because Christ in you. Think about it. Don't leave your Christianity at the border. Truth sets us free, people. And Christ is in you. And I'm grateful for that. I was reminded this week of a situation in discussions, listening to someone, and my mind went off. And so I made a mental note. I'm going to put that verse, that passage, in my notes on Sunday. Because listen, do you remember what Paul was before meeting Jesus? Very wealthy Pharisee. He was of high authority, and he was the most zealous of them all. Highest grade of education. In the ancient world, the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, was his before Christ name, was one of the most highly educated individuals, and he is still to this day the greatest convert to Christianity the world has ever seen. You remember what he was compared to who he is? And I remembered who I was compared to who I am today. I am nothing like I want to be. Will someone say amen too? But I'm nothing like I used to be. Now you can really say amen. If you don't like me now, you would have hated me then. And this is the passage that came to my mind. And I'm wondering if we can stomach this in our pathetic culture anymore. I'm wondering if the, quote, Church of Jesus Christ in America can handle this anymore. And yet truth sets you free. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? All right. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" You hear that? I don't know if that can you even legally say that? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Do you know what a fornicator is? Fornicator is a person who has sex predominantly in the single. Singles and singles having sex. You say, well, come on, man. God says fornicators aren't going. Idolaters, people who worship things and that's their gods. What does that mean? It means that's their identity. If they lose their money, they kill themselves because that's not them who live, it's their money. If their car gets stolen, they don't know what to do because their identity is their car. You're an idol worshiper. Adulterers. This is interesting because it can be two people married but having sex with someone else, or it means that one of the person is married, and that's adultery on this person's part and then fornication on the other person's part, like a married person having sex with a single person. God says that's adultery. Nor homosexuals. That's exactly what it means. The word predominantly in the Greek means those men or women, women who act and conduct themselves in a masculine way and men who conduct or act themselves in a feminine way. Then the next word is sodomites. That is the actual sexual act, sexual activity, sodomites. That's the actual function. That's the actual practice. We try to make things. We try to say, well, you know what? We're fornicators and we're idol worship. But God says, you're not going. Now, listen, don't run out of the building because you'll miss the wonderful sunlight that we're going to break through the clouds on in a moment. Nor thieves. Thieves, people who rip people off. Or covetous people. Or drunkards. Or revilers. Or extortionist will inherit the kingdom of God. Just when you're about ready to run out of the building with your hair on fire, all upset, let me tell you this. Not all of those things pertain to me before I came to Christ. I mean, I've had no homosexual sodomite temptations. It's just not my thing. okay? Maybe you're though riddled with that temptation. Listen, cheer up. It's a temptation. You fight it. Hello? You fight it. Maybe gambling's your deal. It's a sin. Fight it. Gambling's not my thing. I don't know what it's like to fight gambling because I work too hard for my money. I'm not going to give it away. Seriously. But maybe you fight with that. Fight it. Resist in the power of God. Resist. These things that are listed. Fight them. And Paul says, look what he says. This is so amazing. Verse 11. And such were some of you. Oh, man. Yes. That's how I came to Christ. Greg Laurie, June 20th, 1977, a Monday night, was preaching a message from Revelation chapter 20, and his message was entitled, How to Inherit Hell. I'd never been to church before in my life, walked in, sat down, heard his sermon, and I just went down that list. I'm doing that. Oh, I'm doing that. I've thought about that. Well, not that one. Oh, that one I'm currently doing. And I knew I was in trouble. Hallelujah. And such were some of you. If you're honest, God's power wants to set you free and transform your life and make you into a little version of Him in this world through the power of giving your life out to other people. Such were some of you. Such were some of us. How? What happened? But you were washed. That implies the Word of God. Using the Word of God, the message of His blood, washed by the Word, washed by His blood. You were sanctified. What does that mean? Watch, watch everyone, that God picked you up from the world and He puts you over here into His world. Okay, what's the next word? Justified. What does that mean? Look carefully. Just if I'd never sinned. That's what it means. God looks at you like that, Christian. But my past, it's your past. Wake up, grow up, stand up. This is your future. The past is gone. It's hidden in Christ. It's over. Washed away. Done. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We end right here. Verse 23. The power of giving puts us nearer to one another as together we confidently leave all to Christ. We leave all to Christ. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, be with you all. Amen. What does he mean by that? I give all to Jesus. I stand as a believer today and I confidently leave my past. I dedicate my present life to Christ and the future belongs to him. We live like this. Dr. Warren Wiersbe writes in his great commentary, now that we have come to the end of the book of Philippians and to the end of our study, says Wiersbe, what makes it meaningful now is not what we've learned, but how we now live. The power of giving puts us where the action is. The power of giving puts us there before the throne, and the power of giving puts us nearer to one another. And that is our mandate as Christians. I'm going to ask you to all stand. I'm going to ask you to put your Bibles down if you can. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to commission you today. And I want your hands raised because I want you to commission me. And we'll agree together in this. Now, if you can keep your hands up and close your eyes without falling over. Okay, be careful. But okay, you ready? I want to bestow this biblical blessing upon you that would be practical and not a theory. May you be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord Jesus, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, so that you might be strengthened with his might according to his glorious power, that you would live a long and fruitful life, and that you would keep his word like a necklace around your neck as a reminder. And to write his word deep within your heart that you will find favor with both God and man. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do. And he will show you which path to take. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with all might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man. That Jesus Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Power of Giving, Part 3. Thanks for listening. And as we continue to the end of our study in Philippians, its meaning is not in what we've learned, but how we now live in Christ. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So, Pastor Jack, you used the words a healthy diet. A church has got to be on a healthy diet.
Yeah.
Right? Tell us about what's coming up at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills.
Yeah, everybody, some time ago, maybe you guys remember on this program, we paused from our normal programming and we did a current event update.
Right.
Folks
love that, by the way.
Well, you know what? It's the normal conduct of this church and of all of us here together. We didn't expect the response from our national listeners that we got. We were overwhelmed. Yeah. With people saying, please repeat it or do it again or do more of it. How do I find out more? I didn't know that about the Bible. And so, frankly, we were caught off guard. And that response has given birth to an event that we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing it once a month for 3 months to see what happens. It's going to be live on a Wednesday night Pacific time. And we are going to do, first of all, a 30-minute Facebook live streaming event to where I'm going to be laying down 30 minutes of Bible doctrine, why we believe what we believe about a particular topic as it relates to current events and or Bible prophecy. Now, a lot of people push back from prophecy because of abuse. And I agree with you, friend. If you're saying, what? I don't need to hear that junk. All these prophecies about this and that. Hey, listen, I agree with you. That's why we're going to do it. A lot of famous names have abused Bible prophecy and named this and named that and said this about the sun or the moons and all this stuff and led a lot of people down a confusing path. Just because people do that, you shouldn't throw away the teachings of Bible prophecy. So we want to give you a healthy diet. Number one, the first 30 minutes live is going to be the foundation to understanding the Bible. The second 30-minute segment is going to be, are there any current events taking place in our world that relates to the Bible? And we're going to judge them in light of the Bible. We're not going to try to make them fit.
Right.
We're not going to try to say that what's happening right now in Russia is right here in this chapter of the Bible. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to force fit anything.
Right.
That's kind of hysteria. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, well, I better talk about end times, so let's make something fit. No, I don't believe in that. And then the last 30 minutes is going to be taking questions relating to the evening by those that would text us their question. We've never done it before like this. It's kind of an experiment. It kind of takes this church here in Southern California, and it opens it up to all of our listeners to join us on Facebook Live. And we're going to have a big church/class room. Yeah. Interactive evening. And we hope you join us. Tell people about it. The first one's going to be September 20th. That's going to start promptly at 7 p.m. Pacific time. September 20th, mark your calendar live, September 20th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And then October 25th and November 15th. So September 20th, October 25th, November 15th, all at 7 o'clock Pacific time. And it's going to be a live Facebook event. And you'll be able to participate with your texting us your questions regarding the topic.
I think you noticed the big smile on my face. I can't wait. That's going to be great stuff.
I can't wait either.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.